The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's great to be back with you. And this is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. And we've had a really cool opportunity. The last 6 weeks, we've talked to two people from Ukraine and a former, you don't know this, Irina Comer's in the studio with me today. She's running for Wake County Commission. Irina4wake.com is her website. That's I-R-I-N-A, Irina 4, F-O-R, Irina 4 Wake. .com. And you don't know this, but just like 2 weeks ago, Irina, I had a gentleman on who still lives in Russia. He runs a seminary in Moscow, and he used to work for the KGB as a spy. So he was spying on Christian missionaries in Russia, which is how he ended up becoming a Christian himself, and he left the KGB. So it was fascinating to hear his testimony and hear his story. So Irina was introduced to me by another friend, Natalia, and all. I've just run into these Russians all over the place, apparently. And so you have something, Irina, I mentioned this, and thank you for coming in to do the show today. It's great to see you. Irina has something that the overwhelming majority of us here in America don't have, which is a perspective, because she grew up and was raised in Russia underneath the Soviet Union. And then, of course, when things changed and it became Russia. And then she moved here. When was it? Was it 2010, Irina?
2010.
So Irina has a perspective on life in America as well as life in other parts of the world and on communism, socialism, our form of government as an American citizen that most of us don't have. And also to have that perspective, to be able to take that into the halls of governance, in this case, the Wake County commissioners, is super important. So a lot of great opportunities here for all of us to learn from Irina's life and what she's experienced and the wisdom that she's gained over the years. And so, and then we'll talk about the Wake County Commission. We were talking about this before, Irina. Most people don't have a clue, right, about Wake County Commission, because when you tell them what you're running for, what do you usually run into? What's usually the response?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. That's true. When I speak with people and I tell them that I'm running for Wake County Commission, the first response is, we have commissioners.
Right. They don't even really know what the deal is.
No.
And so how do you explain to them what a Wake County Commissioner would do, or what the Wake County Commission is involved in?
Well, when I tell them that this is the government body that sets their property tax, I immediately get attention.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Yeah, but there's more to it than that.
And then we can get into specifics. So Wake County Commission is a body that manages operations of Wake County, starting from things like parks, zoning in unincorporated areas, libraries, and the major things like Wake County Public School System, Sheriff's Office, Wake Tech. Those are all the things Commission is involved in, as well as they have a lot of other initiatives related to environment, diversity and inclusion, public transportation, and such.
Yeah, it's an enormous scope of responsibility that the Wake County Commission has. And there's one word you use there that is a hot button issue. It has been for the last year and a half, starting in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is the schools. And most people don't really think about the Wake County Commission. They think about the school board, the Wake County School Board. But you guys have a tie into the Wake County School Board because the Wake County Commission deals with money.
Correct. More than half of our county budget goes to our school system.
And so we should have an interest in how our money's being spent.
We absolutely should have interest, and I'm not sure that our current commissioners dive enough to understand how money is spent or ask enough questions or demand accountability.
Yeah.
And yes, most money come from the state, and Wake County Commission probably provides about 25% of the school budget, or around that number. But it's still enough to start asking questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a significant number, and all you need to know what that is. If you pulled 25% out of the Wake County School school budget, they would collapse. They would not. They couldn't do anything.
Absolutely.
With 25% hit, and that's where you have accountability and the power of the purse string, but you got to be willing to pull on that. So we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about all these things because there's a lot of aspects that we need to pay attention to. We get enamored by presidential elections and an off-year election right now. We're paying attention to primaries. We're paying attention to Congress and trying to take back control of Congress for the Republicans. And then on the state level, not as much interest, but when you get into the state Senate and the state House, those are things that are very important, especially if you want to get a veto-proof majority against Cooper. But then down to the local level, where I think the Democrat Party has been especially effective for years in really filtering up from the bottom and controlling our lives from the bottom up. And we tend to get kind of infatuated by Washington, D.C., and we miss stuff that's going on in our own backyard. So we're going to talk about that as well. But let's talk about Russia for a while because we don't have that perspective. So what was, as you look back on growing up in Russia, and we're going to hit a commercial break here pretty quick, what are some of the things that you remember that are really fresh in your mind about life in Russia?
So when I was born in Soviet Union. And when I went to school, my elementary school happened during Soviet Union times. And I remember propaganda. I still remember it. Mm. And I know a lot from what my parents and grandparents told me. Every morning you wake up, you take your main newspaper, Pravda, and that newspaper tells you what to know, what to think, and how to feel. You're not allowed to question. Facts didn't matter. Only narrative did, if it sounds familiar.
Yes, slightly. Yeah, that's social media and the digital world in America today, controlled by, quote-unquote, the state. I would say the state in league with big tech. But that was just, did you know any different, or is that just life? That you just, did you have anything to compare it to?
No, it was very closed in society. You remember the phrase iron curtain. Mm-hmm. We were not allowed to leave. Actually, for people who were allowed to leave, to get visa to country you were going to was not enough. You had to obtain exit visa, meaning that Soviet Union Communist Party allowed you to leave the country. So they're slowly coming back to that, I think. But that was my childhood. Yeah. And then we went through the whole collapse of Soviet Union, and then in 2000 Putin came, and then in 2010 I decided to leave.
Yeah, so a series of events there, and I want to talk to you about that because I want to understand what that was like for you. You guys started to get a little glimpsed with Gorbachev in there, and he's like, okay, I need to start changing some things here, and maybe it needs to look a little more Western. At what point in Irina's life did America kind of get on the radar screen? What did you think of us before you came here? What do you think of us now that you've been here since 2010? Talking to Irina Comer. She's running for Wake County Commission, irinaforwake.com. What a powerful perspective. We have a lot to learn, so make sure you stay tuned in and pay attention because we're all in class today, myself included. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show, today here in the studio with Irina Comer. She's running for Wake County Commission. Irina4Wake.com is the website. I-R-I-N-A. Okay, Irina 4, F-O-R, Wake as in Wake County, Irina4Wake.com. And we're going to talk more about the Wake County Commission. It's got a very, very important role. We can have a lot of influence from a conservative perspective in a city, and which is a big fight because most of these cities, Irina and I were just talking about it off the air, are everywhere you look, and the big cities around the country are blue. And so you've got the Wake County Commission, like a lot of things in Raleigh in this area that are a lot of influence from the left. And you have to engage that. You can't just run away and give up on it. You have to engage. So we're going to talk about that as well. But Irina also was born and raised in the USSR and then the collapse of the Soviet Union. And then you get to Russia. But when that happened, Irina, and again, thank you so much for driving up here today and being part of it. When that happened, what was that like to go through? All of a sudden, the Soviet Union is collapsing. Gorbachev, Ronald Reagan, all that stuff. You mentioned the Iron Curtain, of course, the Berlin Wall falls at some point. It had to have been kind of an earth-shaking experience to go through.
Yes. In my childhood, when I asked what America was, and America was our main enemy, right? The answer was, it's a capitalist country, really, really evil, yeah, where few men oppress the rest of the country. And that was the main message. So when Soviet Union collapsed and suddenly the world became more open and more information was allowed in, the whole environment, the whole this sort of information wall started collapsing, and people started getting more information, and they started understanding that there are countries in which people can live in a way they see fit, that people are responsible for themselves and for their families, and it's a land of free, and everyone can achieve whatever they want, right? And there is a meritocracy.
And for you, that was a was that pretty much just a completely foreign concept? And I can move somewhere. I can do whatever I want with my life. I can go for it or I cannot. I can take a shot. I can build a business, whatever, or not. But it's totally up to you.
It was completely opposite to the foundations of Soviet Union, mm-hmm. where you always meant to be one of many. And you had to be as equal as others, which except some that were more equal than others.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the funny thing about communism and socialism. That's why I smirked when you said they're over there talking about all these evil Americans and it's capitalist society and just a few powerful people oppress everybody else. I'm like, what do you think is happening in the USSR? That's exactly what happens under communism as well as socialism. But you stay there, obviously. You were still pretty young when that happened. At what point did you start to consider leaving? At that, now it became Russia, but at what point did you start to say to yourself, I'm out of here?
I had a pretty successful career. I worked for international public audit and accounting firm for many years. But at some point, I just realized that even though I was well set, if you will, mm-hmm. in terms of career and financially, I just couldn't take it anymore from that regime in terms of its hypocrisy and bureaucracy and corruption. And I decided that I had enough. And I started looking at the map of the world, trying to figure out which country I want to call my home. Mm-hmm. And I look at the United States and I realize that those fundamental values sit with me so right that this is where I want to live. This is where I want to have family. I want to raise kids. And that's how I decided to move.
So when you say fundamental values, what values did you perceive America had?
I'm talking about individual freedoms, accountability, meritocracy. When people take responsibility for their lives, for their own decisions, and they can achieve whatever they want.
Yeah, meritocracy, for those of you that haven't been in that class, is based on merit. So that's you're going to get ahead in the world. This is what we've tried to teach our kids, right, most of us, that you will succeed based on merit. You work hard, you do okay, you'll succeed. If you don't work hard, if you cheat, you won't. And so based on you'll either merit it or you won't. You'll merit success or you will not. That's the meritocracy, which is fine. We've soiled that notion here in America pretty good. So once you got over here, Irina, when I'm trying to look at, there's the America that you perceived and that you hoped for, and then there's the America that you got when you came here, and then you've been here for what, like 12 years now? And then there's a slightly different America today than there was when you got here. So that's a lot to throw at you, but I just really want to kind of get your perspective on what your perception was and then what'd you find once you moved here.
When I moved from Moscow, I moved straight to New York.
Wow.
And I was watching politics. I was always interested. I was watching politics for years. And I saw that shift to the left year over year over year. And at some point, it was so troubling that my fear became that at one point, I will wake up in the Soviet Union again without ever leaving my new home. And that is why I decided to get involved in politics eventually. But that shift is happening year over year, little by little.
Yeah.
And when it happens little by little, people don't notice it. People don't understand when your freedoms, your rights are taken just in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But if you compare the state of affairs 10 years ago and now, there's a huge difference.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what scares me here.
Well, because you've already been, you were born and raised in the destination of all of that.
Exactly.
So you're like, this smells familiar, looks familiar, sounds familiar. I've been here before. And for that to all of a sudden start to show up and kind of creep in, whereas for us, we're thinking in terms of, well, you know, the country got started kind of in 1776 and the Constitution's written in 1789, ratified in 1791, yada, yada, yada. And because we're so used to all the freedoms and everything that we do have, we don't notice so much the things that we're losing. But you're already been down the end of the road. You've already seen how the story ends. Are Americans receptive to your warnings?
It depends. Americans who are a little bit older and they remember Cold War, mm-hmm. and they remember reading a lot every day about Soviet Union, they are. Younger generation, it's hard to generalize because people are different,
sure.
but a lot of them are not. They believe that socialism didn't work in Soviet Union because it was built wrong, and now they will do it right.
Right. Those were bad people doing socialism and communism over there, Irina.
Exactly. And the fact that in every single country in which they tried to build socialism, they didn't succeed, somehow is not an indication. The danger here is what these people try to do. They try to destroy all the fundamental institutions in our society. But when you destroy something and you just want to build something new, what happens? You destroy it. You don't build anything.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in Soviet Union after revolution. Or what they built was an evil empire.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really amazing to consider. And especially the young people, when you ask them, where is socialism being done well, they'll generally talk about the Netherlands. Which has a lot of socialist programs, but it's not socialism. You know, you go to Denmark, the Netherlands, that is not a socialist economy. That's capitalism. They just choose to spend a lot of their tax money on social programs. So what they really want, without knowing it, is just kind of liberalism in the political sense. They want the government to be the nanny state, provide for everybody, make sure nobody falls through the cracks. And some of those things are noble goals. They just don't understand because they haven't been taught.
No, they also... use sort of headlines to explain why it's good. They never dove into details how those countries live. What taxes do they have?
Right.
Are people happy or not? Because think about it. When was the last innovation that came from those countries?
Yeah, it doesn't. They don't innovate.
Where innovation comes from? From here.
From America.
Because
that's right.
We provide all the opportunities.
Yeah, free market capitalism, it works. Imagine that. And by the way, what Irina was just talking about sounds a lot like propaganda to me. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. By the way, if you go back a couple weeks, we're talking to Irina Comer today, who's running for Wake County Commission. We're going to start getting into that so we can all be educated. The civics class, if I'm involved, is never going to end. Okay, we're always going to be talking about this. We're all being educated. We all have a lot to learn. So we're going to talk about the Wake County Commission and some of the challenges with that. But Irina Comer was born and raised in the Soviet Union, then, of course, went through the collapse of the USSR, and then you get Russia and Putin and all that mess, and then eventually being able to move over here. And we've been talking about her perspective on America and the propaganda that's out there and how it's changed. Even in 12 years, are you surprised at this point, Irina, how much this country has changed in 12 years, how much we've pushed towards what you left behind?
I am surprised because that's very fast. What was considered to be centrist politics 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is not.
Yeah.
That center shift so much left.
Oh, yeah.
And in terms of policies, so the people on the right stayed approximately where they were, but people on the left moved so much left, there is no more left.
Right.
And the center moved with them, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because now common sense policies are considered to be far out right.
Mm-hmm.
Like nuclear family.
Yeah. And old-fashioned and heartless and the patriarchy, it's man-centered. So you just sit there and be quiet, Irina. You know, you shouldn't have to say anything. And
yes,
then,
sir.
So you get all that garbage. And again, they're not being taught how to think critically for themselves. They just kind of gulp down this propaganda right and left. So let's talk about you. All right, now you're going to get involved with politics. So what kind of drove that? You mentioned it earlier, but I want to dive into that and then start talking about the Wake County Commission.
When I watched that shift, at some point, I decided that I have to put my actions where my mouth was. Mm-hmm. I was talking about it so much that at some point, I either had to get involved and do something about it or stop talking.
Yeah.
And I decided to get involved. Why Wake County? I spent many years, over 20 years in the finance industry, which fits into what Commission does very well. Spent many years in public audit, financial analysis, mergers and acquisitions. I got my MBA from NYU. So if I know something, I know numbers.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. They have to balance budget. They have to decide how to spend money. They have to decide how much your money they are going to take and redistribute. And I think they got way too excited our budget for this year was $1.5 billion.
That was the first time we passed a billion in Wake County, wasn't it?
No, I think previous year it was still over a billion. But for next year, they proposed $1.7 billion.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's sort of we're moving more and more and more towards California type of mentality or New York type of mentality. And I don't think it's right for us. And I don't think it's right for this particular place. I want to preserve the uniqueness of this place. Another thing, commission is a government body that has seven commissioners. All of them are Democrats. I cannot think about less diverse organization than this body. There is no diversity of thought whatsoever. They agree with each other before they meet.
Right.
Conservatives just don't have a seat at the table, and I want to provide that. I want to make sure that every idea is discussed from every single angle, mm-hmm. that conservative values are accounted for, that conservative ideas are there, and somebody advocating for them, and I want to be that advocate. I want to make sure that government does what it's supposed to do, that we are not becoming nanny state or nanny county.
Right.
And that we are spending money on what we are supposed to spend to make sure our county is running. But we're not just taking more money from people who have bigger houses and just giving it out for programs that are not effective. We need to understand if programs we're investing in provide sufficient benefits for all residents. And if they are not, we should cut them and replace them with something that does. Tax base should be viewed as finite. And we should be concentrating not on how to get the most amount of revenue from people, which is just a fancy way to say increase taxes.
Right, exactly.
But how to control the growth of expenses, to separate wants and needs, to make sure that we demonstrate financial discipline. You know, in my family, if I want something and I don't have money for it, I'll wait.
No.
I'm not going to debt for that.
You should renounce your American citizenship now, because we don't wait for anything in this country. We just take out a loan or get a credit card. But you know, I'm sitting here just listening to all this going, you can call that Irina's running as a Republican, obviously. So they go, okay, whoa, she sounds like a Republican. Whoa, she sounds like a conservative. I think you just sound like you have your head on straight. I think you sound logical, a critical thinker. And because most people in America have to live their lives exactly the way that you're talking about, because we can't print money. Sooner or later, you can't get another credit card. And sooner or later, you have to adjust your budget based on reality, because we just can't get away with it. Otherwise, you go belly up. So most people in America end up living conservative lives because you have to. That's reality. What you're talking about is reality. So I look at that. I'm listening to that, Irina. I'm going, I first and foremost, you're just speaking wisdom. And reality, which unfortunately at this point in America only exists on one particular side of the aisle, especially when it comes to money and finances, and that's the Republican Party. The other side, no, not at all. They live like teenagers who are on mom and dad's money.
Right. And I belong to the Reagan school of thought. There is nothing quite so frightening and quite so expensive as government trying to help.
Yes.
And government should be involved only in those things at which it's best qualified.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, that is not many things.
Yeah, that's not, that will fit right here on my little yellow pad
exactly.
In the studio, which was the founding fathers. I don't know how much you've studied the founding fathers, but federalism was the deal. So they knew we're basically giving birth to Frankenstein. Do you know the story of Frankenstein? So Dr. Frankenstein is going to create this monster, right? And the challenge with the monster is, how powerful is this monster going to be? And do we have any way to restrain it? If we create a monster and we can't restrain it, guess what the monster is going to do? It's going to consume us. We're all going to die. It will live. And so the founding fathers, that's why we have three branches of government. That's why we have checks and balances. Our founding fathers understood the human depravity of mankind, that we have a sin nature, that power corrupts. And so we got to check against all that stuff. And the federal government, we're going to try to keep it as small as we can to do only what's absolutely necessary from a federal perspective. Other than that, push it all out to the states. Let the states figure it out, because that's closer to you and it's closer to me. And that's the way the government was designed to run. And for many years, that's the way it did run. But not anymore. Now it's all upside down. And even at a county level, the government, the county commissioners pushing around so much money, And it's all about them, and it's not so much about us anymore.
And even on our local level, what they try to do now, they try to grow the government. They try to grow this monster, because now they are redefining their own roles as full-time versus part-time.
Yeah.
They want to make it a career choice, right? Because when they start talking about retirement benefits are generally reserved for careers.
Right.
If you view yourself as a county commissioner as a career, you're doing something wrong. It's not supposed to be that way. And every time they do something, it costs us money. They have to try to spend as little time as possible, doing things as efficiently as possible.
Right.
But that's not what they want to do. They demonstrate sort of a perfect example of Parkinson's law, but it's not great for Wake County residents. And now they're growing this local monstrosity. And then the bigger and bigger part of county budget will go just to maintain it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, because the reality is, and I'm so glad you brought that up, if you have Wake County commissioners or county commissioners at any level, anywhere else, talking about retirement, no, that's not why you're there. A servant, when I hear the word servant, Irina, I generally don't think of somebody that's going to have a retirement plan and make good money. If you're a public servant, you're not in there to make money. You're in there to save money. You're in there to be a good steward of money, but you're not in there to make money. And also to get in and get out. You serve out of obligation, which is why you got in. Either I have to stop complaining or I have to do something about it, right? I mean,
exactly.
That's because otherwise you're just a hypocrite. You're just a whiner. That's all you are, which would make you really quite a good American to just be a whiner.
and I believe you should get in, serve one or two terms, and get out.
Yeah.
That's the nature of it. That's how it was established.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely shouldn't be a career.
What I want to talk about this on the other side of the break, because one of the big challenges about running for county commissioner in our county and most places is you run countywide. It's not like Wake County is the big county. And it's not like we have little districts here and there. You actually have to work the whole county, right?
Yes. Our county is larger than 8 states.
Jeez.
The county is larger than any single U.S. Congress district. It's 857 miles, 1.2 million people, over 800,000 registered voters, which makes it extremely hard and expensive race.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a bigger group than your average congressional district. Districts are like 600,000 people, somewhere like that. And Wake County's bigger than that.
Yes, 1.2 million people overall and over 800,000 registered voters.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a big deal, which is why we're having this conversation today. And we will, again, by the way, this is just an introduction to meet Irina and talk about what's going on in Wake County and as well as her background. We're going to keep talking about, we're going to talk about specific things that she wants to do, things she would like to change. Being a voice at the table, did you realize that? All 7 Wake County commissioners are all Democrats. You don't have a single dissenting voice in the group. They've already agreed, like Irina said, before they even talk about an issue. That is a problem. It would be a problem if we're on the right as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, sharing a couple links right now on Facebook Live. So if you go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook, you can grab these links. One of them is for Irina's a webpage for her candidacy. Take Back Wake, Irina Comer for Wake County Commissioner. That's Irina4Wake.com. Irinafor, Irina4Wake.com. I put that link up there. I put the link up there from an Epic Times article about all these crazy Russians that are in the North Carolina area, particularly here in the Wake County area, that are getting together, who see things clearly, unlike most of us Americans, because like Irina, if you were born and raised over there, especially under the USSR, you can smell a rat, and they see it on the horizon. They know it when they see it. They know what's happening here in this country, and so they serve an invaluable blessing to the rest of us. And then this one in the North State Journal, letter to the editor: serving on county commission should not be a full-time job. And you wrote that just on May 5th. Wake County commissioners are considering giving themselves a 132% raise this year from $28,588 a year to more than $66,000. That's 132% raise. Are we like just bleeding money in this country right now, like real money, not printed money. This is an incredibly imprudent as a fiscal matter, she wrote. It's also remarkably tone deaf at a time when real wages all over the state are declining in the face of the worst inflation in 40 years. If you don't speak that language, that means like wages in America are up like 5%, but inflation is over 8.5% now. So you're actually, you think, wow, I got a 5% raise. Yeah, but you're paying 8.5% more for everything. So all of a sudden, that's why you're going to spend $5,000 more this year on the same stuff that you spent last year. And that's why this is just offensive to me, that in light of all this, the Wake County commissioners could actually step up to the plate, Irina, with apparently no conscience whatsoever and say, give us a 132% raise. What's wrong with these people?
I think they are very certain that they will be reelected because that what was happening over the last years, and they don't care. They do whatever they want. They pave themselves a way to become full-time government employees or elected officials, and they want to take care of themselves. And that is fundamentally wrong because that's not how that role was intended. And I disagree with A, with this increase, and B, with it defining that role as full-time.
Yeah.
That's not what they're supposed to do. And I've never, I listened to their meetings, I watched their meetings. Words that I've never heard are economy of scale, cutting expenses, thinking how to do things efficiently. I've never heard those words. Mm-hmm. What I've heard is how much more money we want to spend every year.
Yeah. Yeah, they sound like teenagers to me, you know, and your kids are younger, but believe me, they're probably already showing signs of this. But, you know, because they just don't, our kids, when they're teenagers, when they're young, and you mentioned this was kind of funny, a wife asking her husband for a Lamborghini. What was that one?
Wife asking husband for a Lamborghini. He says, do you know how much does it cost? She says, it's a different question.
That's a different question, right? Well, you're talking about two different things here. And that's like our kids. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to buy this. They want to buy that. We should go here. Let's go to Disney. I'm like, do you realize if you want to go down to Disney World with a family of six, for example, and you're going to stay on the park and you want to go for a week, that's a $10,000 to $15,000 vacation.
That's like a vacuum to your wallet.
Yeah, and people just don't understand that. They say, oh, let's do this, let's do that, because it feels good. But the reality is you can't afford it. And that's part of the problem that we have in Wake County. How do you win? Because this is a very difficult thing to do, because Wake County is not like broken down into individual districts. You got to run the whole thing, right?
Yes, it's a countywide race, which means that as long as somebody lives in Wake County, I'll be on their ballot, which makes it a very expensive race. We need name recognition. It's a local race, so a lot of people don't see it as a glamorous race,
yeah,
right? We don't get a lot of media coverage. We don't get a lot of opportunities to present ourselves and our ideas. And that's hard. How we can win? Even to print out enough palm cards or enough signs costs thousands and thousands and, yeah, thousands of dollars. So $5-$10 looks like not a lot, but it makes a big difference for the campaign. So if residents who want to see difference, who wants to see change, who wants to see just diversity of thought,
just a little accountability,
just cost of two cups of coffee,
yeah,
would help our campaign. So if you can, please go to my website and donate. There's a button there.
Yeah, because just so people understand, like, especially this time of year, and we'll see it again towards the end of summer, into the fall, we start seeing yard signs all over the place. And one of the things about yard signs is some people would assume, Irina, that we're kind of like, you don't pay any attention to them. Yes, you do. You just don't know. I'm going to go back to a word you use. Is it propaganda? Yes, it's a good kind of propaganda. It's just implanting in you. It's a word I used to use when I had my house painting company, ubiquitous. So I've got signs out there in front of the houses. My trailers have the name on it. My truck matches my trailers. My shirts match my truck and my trailers and my signs. My website matches all that stuff. The direct mail that we sent, and we've sent hundreds of thousands of pieces a year here in the area. So that everybody, every once in a while, when I would meet people, Irina, they'd be like, oh, what's the name of your business? Oh, the paint company. Oh, I see you guys all over the place. Well, that's not actually true, but that's the perception. Which is like, so how much does a yard sign cost, for example?
It depends on how much you order.
So right.
The more you order, the less it is. But several dollars plus the wires,
yeah, the
which
frame.
Cost the same. And a lot of people, when they go to polls, they have no idea who the candidates are, especially when it comes to local races at the bottom of the ballot, like where I will be. So the way they vote, they look at names, and the name that sort of gives them a slight hint, a slight name recognition, often becomes the candidate of choice. And that's what we try to achieve here. We try to let people know that they should vote for us and why. I want ideally residents, when they go to polls and see my name there, to vote for me because they either saw my name, or they heard me, or they heard about me, or they are familiar with what I stand for and what I offer. It's a hard work.
Yeah.
Because even with sign, when it comes to signs, to cover the territory that is 857 miles.
yeah, square miles. It's a big area.
It takes thousands of signs.
Yeah.
As well as hundreds of thousands of palm carts or door hangers to distribute.
Is it a partisan race, meaning are they going to see your party affiliation next to your name?
Yes, it is a partisan race.
So you'll see Irina Comer and in parentheses R.
Yes, correct.
And will you be the only Republican running for all of these county commission seats, or will there be more?
The way it works...
Because you don't have a primary, so I want to make sure people understand that.
I don't have a primary. It's a little bit weird setup. All commissioners have to come out of certain district because they want commissioners to come out from all over the county rather than from one place.
Right.
But every single district will be on every single ballot. And residents will see District 1 and then a Republican running against Democrat. District 2, Republicans running against Democrat. District 3 and District 4 doesn't have a Republican running. So there will be three Republicans on the ballot. I'll be in a District 3 box. That's where you should be looking for my name.
But right now, everybody needs to understand there is not a single conservative on the Wake County Commission.
Correct.
Not a single one.
All Democrats.
So you come back to that. That's such an important point. And we'll definitely have you back many times before November. Don't worry about that. But the diversity of thought and accountability. Again, I'll go back to this. Right now, what you have, the county commission is basically like a bunch of sixth graders going to Washington, D.C. for the weekend by themselves without a chaperone. Well, we all know that's just stupid. Okay, that's just a bad idea. It's stupid. They might be really nice kids. They might even come from Christian homes. Fine, but they're still sixth graders. Well, if you have seven Democrats, seven liberals on the county commission, there's absolutely, I love that phrase, there's no diversity of thought. There's definitely no accountability. And so they're going to do whatever they want to do. And we all know that's wrong. That's just bad governance. And I would make a case that it's immoral because you're not actually representing your constituency. You're only representing part of it.
Exactly. All commissioners, even though they come from different areas, are practically elected by Raleigh.
Yeah.
So they're not accountable to places where they live and to residents of those places who are supposed to be their constituents.
Yeah.
Because of just the size of our district. It should be split into all seven districts, and voter should vote by the district. And then it would be easier for them to hold these commissioners accountable. Mm-hmm. Because currently, let's say... voters of Kerry, when they elect their commissioner, I put it in quotes there, their voices are diluted to nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, I think in 2014, the commissioner who represent Fiqua lost his own district, and yet he was elected because he was elected by Raleigh.
Yeah. That's a mess.
That is a mess.
That is a hot mess. That's like asking me, let's take Central North Carolina, where we're at, let's take the triad. Do I want all of my representatives to be from Chapel Hill? What if Chapel Hill is just calling all the shots? And you go, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Because, of course, it isn't. But that's what's going on here. So you got all these people in Raleigh, in the city itself, making these decisions for Wake County commissioners, even though they represent the entire county. And guess what? Not everybody in Wake County is in the city of Raleigh.
Correct. And that's why we should change the system, and we should allow commissioners to be elected by their respective districts.
So,
it's not going to happen this year.
No. But if we can start getting people on there like you, then we can start to see some changes. Otherwise, you're going to get the exact same thing over and over again, which Einstein said that was the definition of insanity, to try the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. No, that's not going to happen. You actually have to get in there and change things, which is why Irina's here with us today. So people should consider donating to the campaign. Do you need volunteers?
I do need volunteers.
You need volunteers and people to be able to go out and put out signs and knock on doors, all that kind of work that we need to do. If you're complaining about it, but you're not doing anything about it. I love you, but shut up. Okay, you're not allowed to. You can't be a whiner. If you're going to complain, you need to engage, which is why Irina's running. IrinaForWake.com. IrinaFor. IrinaForWake.com. Irina Comer, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. We'll do it again, by the way, so don't worry about that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.